5-3-1.
Parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
Now, 6 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. Lots of people texting in actually about the Stella Cinema and Betty Blue in particular. Though I'll read those ones out after the parenting slot, perhaps it might necessarily be appropriate for right now. David Carey joins us once again. David, good afternoon to you.
Greetings to you, Sean.
Now, here's your first question. My 10-year-old son has had a couple of panic attacks while on holidays when we were walking down the street, and one last night when we were watching TV. Myself and my wife have suffered with anxiety in the past. Is this the beginning of an anxiety disorder, and what can be done? He won't speak about it or what he was thinking about when it happened.
Well, interestingly, both parents have suffered, as they say, with anxiety in the past. If, in fact, they have an anxiety disorder of some kind, and I don't know whether they do or not, these things are highly heritable. We've discussed it before, over 80% heritability. To put that in some kind of context, how tall you are is determined about 80% by heritability, leaving 20% just chance variance and nutrition, etc. So he may be at a little bit more risk than that. Are they start of an anxiety disorder? Impossible to tell. He's only had three.
Yeah.
And I don't know how severe they were. Sometimes we like to distinguish between anxiety attacks and panic attacks because panic attacks are much more severe and can be quite enormously distressing and disabling at the time, depending on their severity. Now, this is a 10-year-old fellow. A couple of panic attacks while on holidays when we were walking down the street. Don't know what the context is, unfortunately, so it's hard to go into any detail on this. I would suggest watching, making notes in your diary as to when they happened, where, what time of day, grading them on a scale of 0 to 10 if you can, 10 being the most crippling sort of anxiety or panic attack you can imagine, and 0 being complete calm. You may ask the boy to rate them. He doesn't want to talk about them just yet. That's unfortunate. I wouldn't make a big deal about it. I wouldn't start talking to him about your anxiety history or anxiety in general. It's very easy to reinforce these kinds of things with too many questions, too much discussion. I think it needs to be observed not to do anything just yet. One of the big problems we have with the people in general, including ourselves, as we get a little difficulty and we want to rush to implement a strategy immediately.
Yes.
Sometimes you don't know exactly what you're dealing with. You have observed for a couple of weeks good teachers, particularly creche teachers and preschool teachers who are heavily trained in their education about how to observe children on numerous dimensions. Always observe, gather data, and then they create an intervention plan. That's a good way to parent, too. So let's take a look and keep an eye on this young fellow, see what happens. If another one occurs, see if he'll talk to you about it. How long do they last? How severe are they? What kind of physical sensations is he experiencing? It's very useful. If need be, talk to GP. Maybe you need a referral at some point in the future, not now, to a clinician that can deal with these things. Many, many times I've said that of all the disorders that can affect children, adolescents, and adults, anxiety is one of the easiest to treat and usually one of the most responsive to treatment because we have very clear treatment protocols for it. And often in 4 to 8 visits with younger children, the latter visits being a half hour, you can see tremendous improvement.
Yeah. Would that tend to be kind of CBT stuff? Or
basically, yes. Yeah. Well, almost anywhere you go, the protocol is going to be the same. It will start off with breathing exercises and relaxation exercises that are coached, demonstrated, and repeated in the consulting room with the instruction to do some homework to repeat them at home 2 or 3 times a day, 3 to 5 minutes. Those young people, adolescents or adults, that actually practice them experience relief usually in the first week, believe it or not. Does the anxiety go away? No, of course, but it lowers in intensity.
Yeah.
So the important point always with any form of CBT is there is homework to be assigned.
Mm-hmm.
It's an active therapeutic intervention. Lots of clinicians like to use all kinds of worksheets to be filled out at home. I don't particularly like those kind of things because even when I was a teacher, I didn't like to correct homework.
You know?
So I just gave up giving it. But that's me, you know, and I'm 40 years in the business, so I've got a lot of this stuff locked in my brain somewhere. But, you know, if you're with a good CBT practitioner, you're going to see improvement.
Yeah.
However, the individual must do some of the exercises or the prescribed strategies outside of the consulting room. If
yeah.
you don't work at it, you're not going to make a lot of improvement, honestly.
Notwithstanding that it's heritable, do we live in more anxious times?
Most definitely, and particularly young people. Both you and I'm much older than you, lived through an era in which we weren't constantly 24 hours a day bombarded with bad news,
yeah.
difficulties in the interpersonal field, etc. We could leave school and escape from it, hopefully to the safe, secure net of our family home and our neighborhood. However, smartphones, all young people have them today. There's no escape.
Yeah.
It's Facebook, it's Instagram, it's 1,000 other different kinds of apps, Kick, et cetera, et cetera. I don't even know them all.
Yeah.
They mutate, so they're like a mutating virus. And so young people are just constantly confronted with the interpersonal field that they work with in school and their peer reference group, et cetera. Nobody picks up a phone and calls anybody to invite them
yeah.
anywhere. It's text messages. If you don't get the text, you don't know where your mates are going and you can't be with them. If you send a text, we live in the age of anxiety. We want an instant answer. Someone doesn't text back, your mind flips into that.
Yeah, okay,
oh, where are they?
As I understand, it's not even text anymore. it's on Snapchat or Messenger,
uh-huh.
and there's he can send somebody a message, and then it tells you if it's been read or not.
That's
and,
right.
And if somebody left you seen, that's that's poison.
Oh,
it's the greatest insult you can.
Yeah.
But isn't that's the thing? It's when we were kids. If somebody was going to be mean to you or me, they had to eyeball you and do it. Whereas, that meant that if you're going to carry out an action, you were going to learn immediately the consequences of that action, whether we were going to burst into tears or punch him in the head.
Exactly.
But you realize it was real world yeah. ramifications of what
yes.
you did. Now kids don't know that because they can be mean willy nilly to anyone they like online, and it doesn't seem to seem to have any effect that they can see.
Yeah, exceptionally well said, Professor. You hit every possible button there. The human brain is a social organ. It requires the largest part of the human brain is our visual brain.
Mm.
It requires the ability to look at a human face and interpret human facial expression and categorize it: angry, sad, happy, pleased, doubtful, 1,000 different categories. The average human brain is well able to do that, but you can't do it through Snapchat, Messenger, Instagram, any of that stuff. Those things convey no useful visual information. Even if it's a photograph, well,
yeah.
you can interpret the photo, but you don't see it as a moving picture changing over time in a matter of seconds. I fear for the 1,000-year evolutionary history. That's the short term, isn't it?
Yes.
1,000 years in terms of human evolution. And what's going to happen to the brain as we develop more technology? Now, I point the fingers largely at schools and the technology industry. I am very worried, Sean, I have to tell you, that education in Ireland has been bought and purchased by multinational corporations in the IT sector, and that we are focusing far too much on IT, computer usage, proper computer usage, language, et cetera, social discourse.
Any idiot can use a computer. You don't need to teach that.
Don't need to do that in school. We don't need computer rooms. My teaching and learning resource was a pencil in school. We didn't have a pencil room, Sean.
Yes.
Right? We don't need this stuff. Mm. And we don't need this mindless focus on throwing everything into school to teach children about proper internet courtesy and all that stuff. Human beings know right for wrong, almost all of us. There are exceptions, of course, people who are sociopaths, psychopaths. They're few and far between. Everybody else has an intuitive sense of right and wrong. We don't have to teach it. we teach it in the family home.
Mm.
The schoolroom is the wrong place to teach it. So I'm really worried about this. And I'm worried about the fact that the great gods of Google, Microsoft, and et cetera out there are luring our young people to them as if they were zombies. And that's where you need to be, because if you work in Google, you get free Smarties and popcorn.
Mm.
Isn't that wonderful? But they'll work you like a dog to death in the process. So I'm just concerned about this. That's a rant. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, no, that was a very interesting rant. Next question is this. Our four-year-old daughter has a tendency to strip and fight getting dressed in the morning. I thought it was because of the clothing or fabric softener, etc., but even the softest clothes seem to annoy her. There is no skin reaction that I can see. It's fine in the house, but the other day she started acting up in the supermarket and started removing her clothes. Aside from the behaviour, it's getting cold. How do I help her keep her modesty?
Wouldn't be worried about her modesty. This sounds like sensory integration. Issue to me. Now, you've ruled out fabric softener to a degree or the texture of the fabric, but I think you have to go further here. And this requires some, again, experimentation and observation. You'll have to try some different fabrics. I should have bought it. You can't buy these dentures online. You have to go in for a fitting, you know? fabric softeners, you'll have to try some different fabric textures. Maybe she needs an undergarment over her torso so that the jumper or the shirt doesn't directly contact the skin. Removing labels might be helpful. I don't know. You really need to observe for these things.
Yeah.
Don't worry about her modesty. She's only four. It's not going to frighten the horses. Of course, intervene quickly should she want to take her clothes off, and maybe begin to explain to her that we take our clothes off at home in the privacy of our room or in the living room or something. That's our right to do, if it is indeed our right to do in your family home. We don't do that outside. Introduce the language of private. It's private thing. Private things we do at home.
Yeah.
We don't do in the supermarket. Keep it very simple. Low arousal. Don't get upset yourself. It's something that children do sometimes. I don't know enough about this four-year-old to know if there's any kind of warning signs of spectrum issues or whatnot. There's lots of children who have sensory integration issues. It causes them significant discomfort sometimes with their clothing. And they will want to strip off. And you really just have to try different fabrics, different laundry detergent, different fabric softeners, no fabric softener.
Yeah.
Hand washing some of the items that are most distressing for her in the sink and see how that works out.
Right. We do have to take a commercial break. After that, what can you do? What should you do? Or should you do anything if you see another parent smack their child? Back in a minute. 53106 is our text number that will cost you 30 cent. David Carey is still with us for our parenting slot. M says, I love this slot. Enjoy it even more now that we have a 10-week-old that I love more than I thought I could love anything.
Isn't that sweet?
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, that's a wonderful input.
Presumably that's your first. Well, maybe it's not your first, but that's, you know, I think a common experience for many people. On the question of the four-year-old who doesn't like putting clothes on, our daughter was the same. Through trial and error, found that the tightness of the garments upset her. Mm. Collars, cuffs, shoes, belts, etc. She has to have her clothes tightened very tight. Anything loose-fitting really bothers her. It took time, but once we found out, everything worked itself out. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. And it could be just the opposite, by the way, that the tightness is the discomfort. And they need more loose clothing.
Yeah.
This is where observation and experimenting really will lead you down the right path.
Yeah, and someone else is wondering, are they allergic to wool? I am, and only discovered the reason as an adult.
Yeah. So, and some people are sensitive to synthetics.
Yeah.
Your rayons and your nylons, we can't tolerate them on themselves.
Yeah. Susan on Twitter says, I worked in a creche. We had a little guy. He used to strip when he got frustrated. It was like he was taking back control.
Oh, that's possible.
Yeah, you can see a kind of logic to that. Right, next question is this. At a birthday party, I witnessed my friend's husband smack their three-year-old son after he pushed my child. Their son is nonverbal and attends a specialist for this. The smack wasn't hard from what we could tell, but the child did cry after the fact. On a different occasion at the same friend's house months earlier, her kid smacked me. when I wouldn't let him jump beside me while I was breastfeeding. Should I let my friend know that smacking hurts and it won't help her child as it doesn't communicate the problem with the behaviour effectively? Or is it none of my business to comment on her or her parents' parenting style?
Really good question. Mm-hmm. First of all, let's desanitize the question. Smacking is a very interesting word. The English translation for smacking is when a big person deliberately inflicts physical pain on a small person's body.
Yeah.
Okay? So this is what we're talking about. What does that teach the smaller person? It teaches them that these big people in the world can hurt you at any time, unpredictably, and you can't anticipate when it will happen. It's arbitrary and delivered only through the adult's eyes.
Mm.
What are the long-term effects of consistently using corporal punishment, which is another way to sanitize deliberately inflicting pain on a young person's body, over time? In other words, the chronic usage of it. It leads to severe anxiety, inability to trust people through and across the lifespan. It leaves a lot of people prone to use smacking as an intervention with their own children. You will hear them say, well, I got smacked as a child and it did me no harm. That basically, if we translate that into English, it means I'm as screwed up as the person who smacked me.
Yes.
It's just that I'm blind to it like they were. There is nothing to be gained from smacking a child. Now, you have witnessed this. I think you have a responsibility calmly to turn to that parent the next time it should happen and say, you know, that's not going to get you anywhere, particularly since your child has a special need and is nonverbal.
Mm.
What are you teaching him? Can you find another way to do it? Just stay calm, say it, walk away. Who the hell cares whether they like it or not? Somebody will say, mind your own business. Fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just say something. We need to begin to live in a world where people will speak up about what's wrong. Deliberately inflicting pain on children's bodies is wrong. In fact, it's criminal. Now, he didn't give a huge smack, so maybe a bad day for that daddy. You know, anyone can lose their temper.
Yeah.
If it happens very sporadically, no lasting harm done.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the way you discipline your child, harm done. If you have a child who's nonverbal, you can be sure they don't understand the world the way you do.
Yeah.
Lengthy explanations aren't going to get you anywhere. Keep your verbiage short and to the point. But smacking won't get you anywhere at all. The little boy made a mistake in living. He pushed someone. That doesn't require a smack. That requires some little teaching on the spot. David, no pushing. We don't push. Shut up. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, the old stern expression, and done and dusted. I think when you witness something like that, best thing to do is to speak up. Not in shock and horror.
Yeah.
Not with finger pointing. But and particularly in a case like this, the boy is nonverbal. Special need.
Yeah.
Seeing someone for it. Okay, daddy just lost the rag that time. We hope it's a one-off.
Yeah. It's a tricky one, of course, because you know, people worry it will damage relations and all the rest of it. So, you know.
The needs of the child come before your friendship relations.
Yeah, especially when people feel they're being judged by other people.
My
14-year-old girl doesn't notice her BO smell. I remind her to wash every day, but she clearly doesn't. I buy her antiperspirant and wash her school shirt regularly, but she doesn't seem to notice the smell. I thought that girls would pay attention to this more. How do I explain that this is important in a way that she will get?
Gosh, I don't know how you're going to explain that except to say, you know, you really stench today. You need to take you need to get up to the shower. And that's the way it is.
And you wonder why teenagers are anxious.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you see, this is high stakes, though. Because
yeah.
if you can notice it in the family home, I'm sure it's being noticed by her peers in school. And that means they're going to be talking about it behind her back, which we love to do as human beings, or someone will make an obnoxious facial expression or gesture, or they will remove themselves from her.
Mm.
So there's always a cost to be incurred from poor personal hygiene. Now, curiously, girls don't usually go down that road.
No, yeah.
Now, I wonder if there is some connection here with some physical condition. I don't know. Usually it isn't.
Some people are a bit stinkier than others, I think almost naturally.
Absolutely. That is very true. You know, some people never use deodorant and don't need it. Mm. And there are others that have to use it three or four times a day because their body just exudes a perspiration, even if they're not getting wet, that carries with it all kinds of these pheromones and hormones and whatnot. I think you need to sit down and talk to her and try to impress upon her the importance of proper hygiene, because it is a health issue as much as it is a social issue.
Yeah.
Particularly for girls.
Yeah.
Because at 14, she's probably in puberty. She's menstruating. If she's not cleaning herself properly and showering regularly, there are health risks that could emerge.
Laura in Cork says, David, a week from today, I'm having my second baby.
Yay.
Me and my daughter Polly have had 2.5 magical years stuck to each other's sides. Can you say soothing things to me about welcoming a baby too, and how our magical world will still be magic with my new baby boy? Soothe me with your wisdom. So no pressure.
No pressure at all. Well, we've talked about this before, and I'm glad you're texting in. It's a sign of being a really loving parent. You involve the, what is it, 2.5-year-old?
2.5-year-old.
2.5-year-old in the arrival of the new baby. Mm. You help her, if you haven't already done this, pick some bed linen for the cot. Maybe the baby will be in a separate room. You invite the other child to go with you for some shopping. You get a gift from the baby to give to her.
Yes.
You get a gift for her to give to the baby. You let her listen to your tummy so she can hear the baby move and feel it move and whatnot. The more you involve her in this wonderful, joyous arrival that you are absolutely thrilled to have, and that's nice, the more she'll adjust to it. And once the baby comes, you involve her in the care and nurturing of the baby to the extent she's able. If you're breastfeeding, you let her watch and you teach her a little bit about just by showing what breastfeeding is and what the breasts are for, et cetera, and how important they are in the life of the infant child. If you're bottle feeding, then she can help with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I predict a very happy welcoming to your new baby. Congratulations.
So congratulations to you, Laura, and to Polly as well, who's getting a new brother. Do text back in, Laura, when the happy arrival takes place. We'd be keen to hear about that. David, always a pleasure. Thanks very much for coming into us.
Thank you.
David Carey there. We're going to take a break after that. More revelations about JFK or not.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, recruiting and supporting foster parents and children. Fiverriversfostering.ie